Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to the SSR2 plenary call number 99 on the 29th of January, 2020, and we're beginning the call at 1500 UTC. Members attending the call include Russ, Denise, Zarko, Kaveh, Ramakrishna, Carrie Ann, Metagoro, Scott, and Navid. Apologies from Elaine, Norm, and Nagar. Attending from ICANN.org is Jennifer, Steve, and Brenda. Technical writer Heather is on the call. Today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I will turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Hi. The first thing we'd like to do is make sure that everyone has heard from travel regarding making arrangements to be in Cancun. As you all know, we pushed very hard to get the document out for public comment in time that the public comment period will close before the Cancun meeting so that we can deal with the public comments there. So we need everyone there. And if you haven't at least gotten the welcome message, please let us know now so we can figure out what's going wrong. Okay.
Russ, this is
yes.
Carrie.
Go ahead, Carrie.
I got the welcome note, but I may or may not be able to come. March is our close-off period for all our projects. So we'll be doing all the project reporting and stuff here. I'll be able to participate in the meeting remotely, though, for the entire meetings. I may not be able to fly as yet. My boss is out of the country until next week. So when he comes in, we'll have to go through March to see how we'll organize the resources in the office to meet our reporting obligations in March.
Well, we will miss you if you're not there. I hope you can be there. And of course, the two meetings at the front end of the, or the 2 days at the front end are when we plan to deal with the public comment.
I'll be available to participate remotely. If not, I'll make sure I block and be able to be in office and on the call.
Great, thank you.
Hey, Russ, this is Scott. I have not received, I just double-checked my email, any email on this.
I bet they sent to the wrong email address.
I just searched to get both of them.
Jennifer, can you help on that one, please?
Sure, I made a note of it, and we'll get in touch with travel.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Yeah, I think that I don't remember when the date was. You had to go into the portal by in the welcome message because I already did it, and so out of mind. But okay, next topic is an email that I sent out to the team on Monday. We had a lot of people who were concerned about the recommendation number one says finish the SSR1 implementation that you started, and people felt that was not measurable. Yet a lot of people did not want to revisit the appendix on SSR1. So taking those two thoughts into consideration, I was thinking that maybe we should expand the recommendation in such a way that says complete SSR1 recommendation 1 by doing X, complete SSR2 recommendation by doing Y, and thus get to a point where SSR3 is able to easily measure whether those were done or not. What do people think? I saw a couple notes on the thread that I started on Monday, but not too much. I can't
Hi, Russ,
see hands, so Jennifer, call anybody who raises their hand. Go ahead, Denise.
Hi, sorry, I'm not quite in the room yet. So I support your approach of briefly articulating what implementation would look like for the incomplete recommendations in SSR1. My preference would be to note that detail, you know, in a table in the annex, rather than there are so many recommendations that weren't fully implemented that it would, I think, take up a substantial part of the report. I would propose to put that, you know, in the annex, or write it in a way that is not so, doesn't take up so much space in the body of the report. But I may be misunderstanding what you're recommending.
No, I'm totally fine with it being at a table and the recommendation being complete the implementation, doing the actions shown in table, whatever,
right,
wherever it's located.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Any other thoughts? Yes, go ahead.
This is Carrie. There's nobody else in the queue. Similarly, my email I had sent around is just that I think once we have the table that cross-references the related recommendations, lifting it out as you recommended, I think it would be easy. But if we do that, and just follow me through in terms of just my thinking, my concern is that when someone lifts up the report, they have to be able to see clearly that we met our obligations under the bylaws, first to review the SSR1 recommendations, and then two, based on current issues, give our own recommendations as a new review team. So however we write the narrative to explain how we have put emphasis on the SSR1 or not put emphasis, I think it has to be pretty clear that one, we have assessed, we have found these things that are not done. As you said, do them. However, some of these things also lead to other things we found. So we have to just make sure that wherever we put them, table them, cross-reference them in a table, however we structure it, it just has to be clear that the two obligations under the bylaws were met.
Yeah. I completely agree, and that's why in the body of the email I sent, I cited like CSSR 2 recommendation number as one of the table entries would be related to that, where we said, yes, finish it, but we think this other work ought to be done as well. I think only one did we say it wasn't complete, but it's overcome by events and nothing further should be done. And we would say that in that table too.
Yeah, and I think what we get by the comments from the public comment is to kind of step back from it and to read the report as someone who'd read it for the first time. So it's pretty clear in terms of if it's instructional, reflective. So it's just as we go through, I guess we'll just work with Heather to just make sure that we are clear as well in our head what we're trying to state. I think that's what's missing. We write a lot, but what the outcome is from what we want to write is what we should be concerned about. And as you said in your email, not so much to be concerned about being prescriptive, but to make sure that we're clear in articulating whatever you do or however you get there, this is the end result we're expecting to see.
Right. And that's harder to write in terms of a measurable outcome. It's easier to say do this than it is to say do something that gets you to a state where, right?
Agreed.
Okay, so I'm not hearing anyone think that building this table is a bad idea. If there is such a person, please speak now.
Zarko's in the queue.
Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I don't think that's a bad idea, but how we are going to do that without looking at recommendation itself and our findings? And that question I'm raising for a long time ago, that we have some findings which cannot be supported. Actually, there is no evidence that they may be supported. And we have pretty strong statements somewhere in some places that Aiken Org and Aiken staff didn't do their job. Looking at the table, we have two recommendations, seeing two recommendations are not implemented, and also all others are only partially implemented. And our finding is implementation didn't reach intended effect. And in preamble, we say that it is very difficult to measure and to find what is intended effect. So at least we should write down what we expect. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Russ, to say, please do this so we can consider, or SSR3 will consider that recommendation is done.
That's exactly what I'm proposing, yes. So the first part of your question was how we're going to build the table. And I see two ways we could do that. We can ask one person to go off and make the first pass at it, or we can each sign up to do a row or two and then look at what we get. The first one will get a more consistent wording and so on, and the second one will get it done faster. So I'd like to know what people think.
This will be done during Cancun. Sorry, this is Carrie Ann.
We need to have this done before Cancun, yes.
But we would need, the table would just be numerical, then, and not content.
The table would be the recommendation number and what needs to be done to finish its implementation, or a pointer to another SSR2 recommendation.
I was just thinking how to minimize the editing of that at the end when we get back the public comment, because we may have substantive, I don't know how substantive the comments will be in terms of what we need to change to take text to be part of it. So just to kind of think through that.
Yep, it would have to be, as we resolve the public comments, we will have to look at this table as well. That's correct. So do we have a person who likes the idea that one person do the whole thing and is willing to do it, as opposed to one person would like some other person to do the whole work? It's not what I'm looking for. Otherwise, in the interest of people's times, I think we will be faced with doing the second. Okay, Heather, you built a table in a Google Doc, right?
Yes, I did.
Could you send that to the team, and I will ask people or in the next couple days to sign up for two recommendations to write the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Did Lauren join the call?
I believe Lauren did join, and Zarko has his hand raised again.
Oh, Zarko, go ahead.
I have a question about that approach. What if different person look at recommendation and find out that the previous findings are not right?
Well, then I think they're going to have to bring it to the whole team, since we got to the point where we thought that was done several months ago. But if they find that either something has changed since we wrote it that changes the result, or that they find something that the other person missed, then I think we're going to have to bring that to the team and talk about it. Make sense?
Yeah, that's okay.
No. Okay. So Lauren joined and then went away. Is that what you said, Jennifer?
This is Lauren. I did not go away.
Oh, good. All right. You wanted to talk about agenda item 3, tracking potential changes to the report.
Yeah, so essentially this is something I noticed when I went through the report, and we kind of touched on the kind of leadership call this week. So it's essentially about what do we do with things that we now, after having cleaned up the document and we have something clean and nice to look at, when we kind of see gaps, errors, mistakes, how we want to track that while we're in public comment. And I just wanted to put that to the team, kind of how we can approach this.
I'm sorry for saying this, Lauren. You sound like you just woke up.
You sound like you're really ill.
I was trying hard not to laugh.
Oh,
welcome to my world. It's early on the West Coast.
It is, but that is not the problem. Let me change to my headset. That will probably make it fine.
Blame the equipment, Lauren. Blame the equipment.
I think we understood his words, so let's start the discussion. So I'm thinking that as we find things that need to change, we just need to keep a log of the changes we make so that we have something when we get together in Cancun to make sure that we don't forget anything and that we haven't made a change that moves us away from consensus. Lauren,
Russ, this is.
Go ahead.
This is Heather. Part of me is struggling with this to a certain extent because, I mean, we're back to working on the markup copy. There's a lot of material in the markup copy which we didn't explicitly discuss, which was just sort of accepted for the sake of getting to public comment. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got two different kinds of changes perhaps that we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, whole new material which we need to track in some way, shape, or form. But we've also got the stuff that we have that we still haven't discussed yet.
Right.
It's already in there.
I'm hoping we will resolve those parts between now and Cancun on these calls. Okay. I hope so that we can highlight the plate. So in doing so, we will make those more like the first. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I think so. I do have a spreadsheet ready for us to keep track of new substantive things.
Good.
And I have consolidated the comments from what was put in the clean copy and what was sent to me privately into the marked up copy. So that is ready for discussion.
So this is Lauren. I hope I sound
normal. Oh, much
now.
Better.
I also feel that essentially when we go through the copy that we sent to public comment, right, if we all do that and we know the old report, we can also essentially say, oh, this is something that was accepted that I don't agree with, or, oh, this is something that somehow fell off the truck by the wayside, at some point, right? And this is exactly kind of why I brought this up, because I noticed two or three things where I went through the thing we went to public comment with, and I thought, oh, we somehow didn't talk about this, right? So I think, I hope, Heather, to address your concern that this can kind of work as one in most cases, where we know the old report and we read the new one and we see if there's a discrepancy we care about or there's a problem.
Okay. The table was just sent by Heather. So if you guys would please put your name in the assigned to column, and then we'll, over the next week or so, fill it in. Okay. Is there anything further on that topic, Lauren?
I don't think so. I think we have an approach, right? We can read both reports. We have a table to put our concerns and notes, and I think that's good. And then, as you said, my hope is also that we do these discussions not in Cancun, but on the calls, so that we can deal with the public commenting.
Indeed. Okay, that brings us to the any other business agenda item? Is there any? Oh, I'm sorry, webinars. I skipped one. Backing up. So usually what review teams do is before Cancun, let the community know what's going on in a webinar, either, you know, a week or two before the meeting, which puts us towards the end of February, beginning of March to do that. There's not much March before the meeting, especially for us with the 2 days on the front of the meeting. So, Jennifer, how do we pick dates for these webinars, and then we can figure out what material we need for them? My understanding is that we would be talking to the document that is out for public comment.
Thank you, Russ. This is Jennifer. So that's exactly right. The content would be the draft report. The webinar would specifically be to give community members an opportunity to ask questions on the draft report. It's not necessarily a pre-Cancun webinar, just so happens to fall within that time frame based on when you put your report out for public comment. I would note that the ICANN org is having an ICANN 67 prep week of webinars. I believe that begins the week of the 18th of February through to the 24th. I think there's a whole 5 days of webinars scheduled. So I would advise to do it before that, which would mean the week of the, let's see, the 10th.
The 10th. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you could do, and the team can decide whether or not to do one or two webinars. Some teams do two to accommodate different time zones. Obviously, the webinars will be recorded and posted publicly. What I would suggest that we do is, unless you want to commit to a couple of dates and times on the call today, we could circulate a doodle of a couple of options on perhaps the 10th and 11th of February, or the 11th or 12th, around that time frame, with a couple of time zone options. And then if we ask people to complete that by the end of this week, we will just go with the ones that most Ruby team members make sense to have at those times. So that would be my proposal.
Okay, that works for me, except the 11th and 12th on my calendar are blocked for something with a customer. So the 13th and 14th, or the 10th and the 13th, something like that would work better for me. I don't know if others have days that are already blocked in their calendar. Of course, I don't have to be there. Somebody else could lead the webinar.
Yeah, so this is Lauren. I'm also in support of just, let's just do that week, because I'm also thinking if we're getting, say, the 10th and the 13th as options, that's also useful. So say if there is like a conference or getaway or whatever for any, you know, kind of group that might be interested, and we have a bit of a spread as well. So you don't do like, oh, day one, day two, and then someone on a plane is missing both.
I think that was an argument for let's spread when we pick two times, let's not make them the same day, is what I think I heard you say.
Yes, that is one aspect to it. And I just also think, like, let's just have that whole week as options and see what people can do. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Is that okay, Jennifer?
That sounds fine. Happy to do that. And we'll get the doodle poll out today. I'm just asking in advance if people could fill that out promptly. That would be really helpful. Thank you.
Okay. And Heather, could you start the draft for the slide deck? I think you have the ones from Montreal to build on.
You bet.
Things have changed a little bit.
A little bit. I'll take care of it.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're to the any other business.
Casey's on the call, and I missed earlier. I'm sorry, I had family stuff going on. But if there's somebody worse trying to yell at me, I'm here to be yelled at.
No one's trying to yell at you, but there is a table that was just sent to your email.
Okay.
Regarding the SSR1, making a table that says complete the implementation by doing X, Y, or Z, or whatever the answer
yes.
is.
Yes.
And so Heather put together a table for us each to sign up to write that sentence.
Okay.
So if you would pick one or two to do that for, I'd appreciate it.
Yep, I can totally do that.
Thank you. Any other business?
This is Denise. Not business really, but just more of a comment. I had a chance recently to catch up on what other review teams are doing, and I note with a bit of irony that the Whois RDS review team also found that a significant number of the previous recommendations had not been fully implemented and recommended that they be implemented without specific guidance. The ATRT3 team also found that a majority of the previous recommendations were not implemented and also directed that those recommendations be implemented, again, without a lot of specific guidance. I'm just sharing that information.
Yeah, when I reviewed the ATRT report, they had a statistic in there that 60-some percent of all recommendations from review teams are not implemented.
Yeah.
So
I think it's good that this team wants to hold itself to a higher standard and go further and provide direction for implementation. But I just note it's a bit ironic that other teams seem to be in the same boat. And Casey, I'm a little surprised that ATRT3 didn't actually address that issue, that there is a systemic problem with ICANN.org simply not implementing recommendations.
Oh, it's Casey. I think they really did address the problem. They addressed the issue in the report. And my understanding is that they did actually, when they said, I have to go back and read that report. That's next on my list because I've actually finished reading this one now. They did actually fold it into recommendations. They would say, this recommendation wasn't implemented. We have addressed this in the new recommendation 7, sort of like we do with some of the ATRT, some of the SSR1 recommendations. But I and the other difference I think we should be aware of, and again, part of this is part of this is, as Denise alludes to, the academic in me, and part of this is that the way that ICANN is now trying to be responsive to the overload of recommendations is they came out with these new operating standards. And and one of the things that ATRT3 does say in the report is part of the reason the recommendations weren't implemented is they're very hard to figure out, you know, or part of the reason that there's a disparity between ICANN's view of whether they're implemented and the review team's review of whether they're implemented for every single review team is that the recommendations are kind of vague and it's not clear what the, you know, measured outcome is when they're implemented. And so both we and ATRT3 say that in the report. So that is part of my concern is we say, you know, we basically justify why there's such a disparity in perception of whether these things are implemented. And then we go say, go ahead and implement them again, even though ICANN has just said they're not implemented. So maybe the table that we're talking about is gonna handle it. We're gonna be explicit about what we mean by go finish it. And I did think that ATRT3 tried to do that or intended to do that, but I take the point that there was a lot of misfire in the whole ATRT3 process. So they may not have.
Yeah. Yeah. And they seem to have just really skipped by the additional reason that implementation is not carried out to suggest that it's all because of vague recommendations is really shows a lack of homework on this. It's also a lack of implementation plans. It's a lack of due diligence on the part of ICANN org to actually ask, is this what you mean? Here's our implementation plan. Does this seem right? I mean, really basic implementation steps simply were not, obviously not carried out for many recommendations that I'm aware of. And that's a more systemic and insidious problem that hasn't been addressed. And we should take this offline.
But just let me just say one more thing, because I definitely heard the conversation happen in the phone calls. And if it didn't make it to that report, which frankly got pushed through without us reading it, I think we need to comment. And I want to make a last plea because we have 2 days left for anybody on SSR2. I'm not asking for a group reply, but I'm asking anybody on this call who will listen to me to go make a public comment. And that comment that Denise made, especially if it's in the public comment, it will give me a lot more ammunition to push it back into the report because I know it was discussed on calls.
Sure.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, one of the issues, if we're on ATRT as a topic, this is Lauren, I have noticed that our world, as in SSR, and if you look at the review options that they're bringing up, I am wondering what they want to do with the SSR review. It seems... how can I say, it seems problematic that they're thinking about doing like a 5-day SSR review, because if we think about what matters to users of the internet, right, like essentially all that matters SSR are of key importance, excluding maybe pricing. And I'm not sure how the team arrived there, and maybe KC can enlighten us potentially, but as I've already just heard, this was also a pretty rash process. Maybe there is no light to be found.
So, yeah, I don't want to get too deep into ATRT2, but offline, definitely you can get me started on this. There are multiple problems with reviews. Everybody agrees there's multiple problems. I had a hard time, despite lots of trying, getting the ATRT3 team to write down what the problems were that they were trying to solve. Because the options that are in the back of the report are sort of, I think, a throw darts at the problem. So obviously the 3-to-5-day idea for SSR reviews was trying to throw a dart at the problem of the reviews are taking too much time and they're taking too long. And they're, you know, a lot of times by the time the recommendations are out, they're obsolete or some such. It is a problem, but the bigger problem in several people, the view of several people on the ATRT3 team, and this is documented in the phone calls, if anyone is going to go read the transcripts, is what Denise just said. is there's accountability problem, not just a volunteer overload problem. And I think people are really blowing out of proportion the volunteer overload problem and confusing it with the volunteer frustration problem at their work is meaningless because it doesn't get attended to. There is a volunteer overload problem. There is a prioritization of recommendation problem. There is the sausage making factory problem that happens in all governance processes where everybody gets their little pet recommendation in because nobody wants to disagree with anybody else and they want their pet recommendation in. So you end up with way too much sausage at the end, or pork, I guess they call it. That was covered in Montreal. And when I say covered, one person got up at the mic and complained about it. Or actually somebody on the panel complained about it, saying, part of the issue with the ICANN community is that there's a very strong pressure for consensus to the exclusion of realism. So you end up with everything in there because nobody wants to say no to somebody else. Nobody wants to get in a fight. And that's, you cannot govern that way, right? So that's why we end up with 500 recommendations that cannot possibly be implemented with the current laws of physics. So back to the 3 to 5 days. 3 to 5 days was trying to address one problem, not acknowledging the other problems. And one thing I'm trying to get ESSEC to respond to, at least in the options, because nobody has time to respond to 222-page report, nobody has time to even read it, is that the way that the options are presented in the report, it is not clear what problem they're trying to solve and an honest look at what other problems they make worse. So, one of the options says, let's start an accountability office. Like starting another committee is going to solve the problem. Well, what problem is it trying to solve? What problem is it going to make worse? So that is a public comment we're trying to get in this week, is that HRT2 has to be much more systematic about how it's proposing the options and how it's analyzing the options. But obviously, Lauren, 3 to 5 days would help the volunteer overload process. And if I can imagine a world where if they had a 3 to 5 day SSR review and it was every 6 months, it could actually be quite effective if we found a mechanism to solve the other problems. Right. So I'm not dissing the 3 to 5 day. I'm just saying this whole way of proposing options is broken. It's incoherent. Sorry, I'm going to shut up now. I said I wasn't going to get started.
Thanks a lot, Casey.
I'm glad you didn't get started. Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not get started. You're welcome.
Thanks for that, Casey. So this is exactly the point, right? I had not thought about, well, if we do this 5 days a year, like per year, every year, or every 6 months, right? I think your comment regarding what you want to put in is true. This needs flashing out because otherwise it might look strange.
Okay, is there any other business?
Yeah, this is Matogoro, and I was curious to see if we have any mechanism of maybe reaching out to our specific community for them to give out the public comment. For example, I was thinking like if you represent ARAC or Africa region, then if SSR2 ICANN.org or the team in general, we can also think of an approach, or if the same approach has been used with other review team, to reach out to so that they can give out the user comments, public comments, especially during this the public comment period, because it is also important that we reach out to our communities so that we can get user comments that we can. They can help shape our final report. I was just thinking around on that angle and see if we, apart from the statement that has been given out, if we can also have a strategy of engaging more audience so that we get user inputs and during this the public comment period. Thank you.
So, thank you for that. I was wondering, do you think that the slides we're preparing for the webinar would allow different people to do whatever outreach in their community they want to do?
Yeah, I was thinking, for example, within these, maybe before the public webinar, which we are planning to have, or after, that we can have a strategy, maybe reaching out, for example, people from different regions, for example, for those who are working with the academia. There are people who can be engaged and give out good comments that can help shape the final reports that we are preparing. So, of course, it's a kind of an outreach of reaching to wide audience so that we can get more input on that. Because as we know that security, stability, and resilience are those hot topic, but sometimes people are shying away giving out the comments because it takes a lot of time to understand the points and also comment on what has been written. So that's something I was thinking of. Yeah, thank you.
Do others have comments on that or concerns?
I just think it's a good suggestion.
Russ, this is Jennifer. I just have one thing to note that I think I have neglected to mention already, that the overview and executive summary section of the draft report are at the moment in translations into the 5 additional UN languages. So those sections of that section of the report will be available, I believe, on the 10th of February, if not before. So we can obviously share that to the list, and that might help with outreach as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that.
Well, that's a bummer because they're abbreviated. We didn't spend any time on them. Dang it.
Yeah, we spent more time on, like, these are the comments we're looking for. Okay, Jennifer, would you like to go through the action items?
Sure, thank you. So ICANN.org is going to ask the travel team to resend the welcome email to Scott and confirm the current email address for him. And then Heather has completed this one already. Send the SSR1 table to the team members to volunteer to add text regarding what needs to be done to measure the completion of each recommendation. And then staff will send a doodle poll regarding webinar options for the week of the 10th of February and team members to complete that by the end of this week. And that's all I captured. Let me know if I missed something. Thank you.
Heather has an action to work on the draft slide deck for the webinar.
Great. Thank you, Heather.
Okay, everybody, thank you. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.